我哋平时饮嘅水都充满咗重金属、杂质、氯气同埋细菌。我会用健波能量活水器，除咗可以清除以上嘅杂质之外，仲可以活化水中嘅信息。健波能量活水器，生命之源，健康之泉。六创意健康店电话2882-4848，网址www.healthshop.com.hk。
Hello, Ron. Welcome to Hong Kong. Well, here at Villa Paloma, we have with me Ron, our visitor, and Ho Fan.
Hello.
both Ho Fan and me joined Ron's class a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And Ron, this is your first visit to Hong Kong. How do you find the audience in Hong Kong? As compared to, say, those in Taiwan and on the mainland?
Well, the audience that comes to me is seeking to understand themselves spiritually very deeply. Mm-hmm. And they're very sincere. Mm-hmm. And they're working very deeply to use their hearts in life, in the world.
Mm-hmm. And compared to those in other parts of China?
Well, normally the people coming to me, wherever I am, mm-hmm. are very serious, seeking their inner self.
Mm. That's what you found?
Yes, yes.
How would you like to be described? Are you a healer, or teacher, or meditation master?
I'm
a... Which label do you like best?
Well, one of my teachers used the term brother guide.
Brother guide.
Yeah, so that for me works. And he was what many people considered deeply, he was born enlightened. Mm-hmm. But he only called himself brother guide, a brother guide. So that's good for me.
So you like to be seen as a guide.
Yeah, just a guide. I mean, I'm there mm-hmm. to assist people into their pathway. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a different pathway. Mm-hmm. And no one, my teachers... were very good in that they worked with each one in their development. Mm. They didn't try to make everybody just like them. Mm. That's a good teacher. The bad teacher is, you copy me, you do what I do, you mm-hmm. say what I say. Mm. And that's a bad teacher. Mm. Because no one gets to get their inner voice or reality, mm. or the gifts that they're born with to give to humanity. Mm. And every pathway is very different. Mm.
You mentioned teachers. One thing I noticed that you are different from other masters I met is you followed various teachers in different stages of your life so far.
Well, they were all, I had different teachers who worked with me for literally thousands of hours developing me. Mm. Some of them worked simultaneous in the same week and months and years, and some were overlapping. But I saw it as just a movement of one consciousness. Mm-hmm. You could say there's one being present through the many, because they each had different gifts and different offerings to me to develop me in the different aspects of myself. Mm-hmm. And they consider them masters. Many of them, a number of them, are very famous in the world. Mm. So I prefer the word brother guide or guide mm-hmm. as opposed to master, because I see them in their extreme, in the mastership that they lived in and maintain day and night, 24 hours a day. Hilda Charlton would take her thumb and put it on your forehead mm-hmm. for 1 second, and you go to the doctor and the cancer's gone. Mm. Daskalos, who was known as Stelianos Atislis, he was in Cyprus. There's a book called The Magus of Strovolos, you can read in English. Mm. He was called Daskalos, which means teacher. Mm. He would look at you and say, you have no disease, go. And you'd be yelling at him that you had a disease. Mm. And then you go to the doctor and find out that you had no disease. Mm. So that's a master level of consciousness, beholding the source within you without any humanity of disease or illness out of time and space, and bringing that reality into every cell. So it's very beautiful, and it opens your mind very deeply.
You mentioned that you're working as a guide, leading people to a high level of consciousness in their lives. What do you do to them to achieve this?
I tell a lot of jokes. No, I'm joking. But I do tell a lot of jokes. But the main thing when you're working with people, the job is to empower people. If you have students, your work is to recognize who they are from their spiritual nature and hold that as the reality, not the personality. And then that they move right into that. And you empower them to take their place, to take their place in the creative consciousness with authority, to step out of their victim consciousness, out of their emotional collapses of abandonment and guilt and fear and shame, and to learn to work, to hold the field, and to bring the creative field, the spiritual field, into life and to live that during the day. My teachers would tell you that the real, you know, you have your morning meditations, you have your evening meditations, but the big meditation is all day long. And so to realize a destiny, you bring your, literally you're bringing, you're learning to bring your heaven root to the earth and stabilize it. Most spiritual practitioners and most paths cannot stabilize their field. They get a lot of highs and lows, a lot of peaks and valleys in their practice. In this work, you're working to stabilize the field, and so you're maintaining the creative field. So many times, whether I'm working with the seriously ill or working with creative people, I worked with many, say for instance in the States, screenplay writers, playwrights, actors, musicians, classical musicians. They all won the top awards in their fields using this work. At the same time, with education, I've trained students to study using this work. And instead of studying 7 hours a day, they study either a half hour or up to maximum hour and a half, and they have perfect grades. I have people who graduated in Europe 4 years of university, 80 exams done in 4 years, and 1 year perfect grades. Right now I have a young man in one of the top schools in America. He has perfect grades. He studies a half hour a week. So, you know, this is applicable to everything. But most of all, you have to apply it to yourself.
Yeah, one of the greatest things I've learned from your workshop is really to see the sacred in the other person.
Yes.
And then see the sacred in yourself.
That's right.
And I was like, wow.
Right, then you have the utmost respect. Because what happens for the human being is that we're always seeing ourselves and everybody else. And so you never get to see the person. And in that way, there's no respect. It means there's no respect for you as a person, yourself. And so if you can't see another human being, you can't love or see them, you can't love them or respect them. And that's something that needs to start from your own sense of self and boundary. Again, most spiritual people do not have a sense of boundary. Their immediacy is the other person. They feel how the other person is. They have the solution for the other person immediately. But everything's through their own field, their own experience, which means they're not seeing the person. You have to step back and take a look through the bigger field to know the correct movement.
I'm so curious about the bigger field, because we didn't really get to try it in the workshop.
Right, right. We'll see today later.
Yeah? What comes up. Would you like to talk more about your bigger field?
Well, if you're doing spiritual healing, you're, in my case, for instance, I work with many cancer patients.
Right.
And for many years, I was working maybe 12, 14 hours a day with cancer patients. Now, I worked with a very well-known oncologist in New York, and I would get sent, you know, basically second, third, fourth stage cancer. Many of the clients who came to me had two to three months of expectancy of life. I would say that about 78 to 80% of those people are still here, 16, 18, 20 years later. According to the medicine, they're not supposed to be. So if you're working the bigger field in terms of the human being and regenerating, healing, you're not doing energy work, you're doing spiritual work, which means you're stepping out of the time-space continuum. You're moving into the deeper field of the creative, which from the rational mind is complete chaos. But when you're in it, everything's in perfect place and perfect sense. And you're working through this the place that has the authority in creation to bring that healing through grace, and to allow you to do your part in guiding it and holding that vision. The energy healer, which is most healing you're going to see, is going to be chi healing, prana healing, magnetic healing. What they're doing is, it's important, all healing is very good, but they're using primarily, they're amplifying the Earth's energy field, the Earth's electromagnetic etheric field, like a motor, to amplify their field and to send this flow, you see.
And because people can feel it, they feel very good. They're like, ooh!
Right, right. Well, that's the but that's the primary focus. So we say that's primary phenomena. You're going to feel the heat and the warmth and the circulation. But, and you can dissolve tumors. The water in a tumor is often mostly water. You can dissolve that out. But the reoccurrence of the cancer, that's a different thing. Spiritual healing, you're going to see when it's very profoundly arrived to you, that in the next 5 years it's not coming back. Whereas of energetic healing, you're going to find often the reoccurrence is coming. With spiritual healing, you will have also the energetic field, because you are opening both the heaven and the earth root, but you've moved into the creative. And the earth root is there to give you stability, but it's a secondary phenomena. The person is going to perceive some heat and energy, but most of the work is being done out of that time space, out of the earth field. It's in the creative field. And in that aspect of healing, there's nothing happening. The human being feels nothing happening. So I tell the story often. I was sitting in Cyprus with Daskalos, and a mother from England came to the house. We just had lunch. She came to England with her 4-year-old boy. And one leg was about 3 to 4 inches longer than the other leg. Due to the curved bones, he had a big leather belt with leather straps and metal all the way down the one leg. And his heel, the heel was about, it would be about 2 to 3 inches higher than the other shoe. And Daskalos said, we'll just bring him over here, and laid him down across the lap of the mother and himself, and just takes his hand and goes across, just touches the leg lightly 2 or 3 times. You know, first he shows me the leg like this. He says, look, see the difference. Anyway, I look at the leg. Then he says to the boy, now run around. So the boy gets up and runs around the living room table. The mother's crying hysterically. I'm like, what happened? You know, and so he says to the boy, come back here. The boy lies down across the lap of the mother and Daskalos, and he says, look, the legs are the same. Says, Christ's super consciousness allowed me to materialize into this boy's leg millions of new cells, into the muscles, the nerves, the cartilage. I was allowed to grow his leg to the same length. But you notice the tibia was curved before, and the tibia is still curved, because in his last incarnation, he was a German general, and he remembers that incarnation right now. And I wasn't allowed to take the curve out, because for him, that's a marker to go the straight path in this incarnation. And then they leave, and 2 hours later, all the newspapers came wanting to interview Daskalos about this boy, you see. So he would always say, if you're present when the miracle happens, you're very fortunate. Because it's not dependent on the human being, it's dependent on the movement of creation, on the grace. You have to be there at that moment, and everything comes together when it's correct. He would often say to people, you know, go, you're healed. Other people, he would say, I cannot help you. What you're doing to yourself with your mind. Learn to use your mind correctly. You see, so, and that was healing them, that was helping them. The difficulty with human beings is that it's very difficult to bring people to a place of urgency, because we've always been the way we are. So people seeking to understand themselves deeply past a psychological nature, They have a deeper level, usually spiritual nature is opening through them, pushing them to go deeper. It's not by themselves. And the this urgency is what's important, because as a human being we're all in a chronic illness. We're in forgetfulness of our nature. We're in these continuous habits which are very self-destructive and violent to ourselves. We're in a chronic disease of beating ourselves up mentally, criticizing ourselves, disappearing ourselves, not willing to make impact or be visible. It's chronic disease. Chronic disease is very difficult to work with, because when you've been any chronic disease, there's no urgency. It's the way it is. You're cohabitating. So once you move into consciousness and you start to rearrange yourself within yourself, there has to be continuing urgency. That's the importance of the groups meeting, the importance of daily meditation, introspection, people being very honest with themselves. You see, the doctors, the medical doctors, they can respond very well to acute illness. It's a big urgency. I got 3 months to get you well, you're gone. Chronic illness, they just keep giving the same old medicine. Mm-hmm. The people go from doctor to doctor to doctor, looking for more medicine, different medicine, and the illness doesn't go. And the issue is they've been cohabitating with the illness. It's part of their identity. They cannot even have an image of separating from it. Mm-hmm. But they want to. They have the movement of going to doctors, but the inner movement of separating from that image, that sense of urgency is not there. So I say that the chronic, for instance, the chronic medicine, chronic illness, has two lovers, doctors and medicines, you see. And it's the same with the human being. If we're in a chronic illness, we'll go to psychologists, which are very good. They help us tremendously. But we keep going from person to person, teacher to teacher, looking for something. But until we start to make our own internal practice, nothing's going to happen. I notice many people have permission to go to trainings. They have permission to go to different meditations or meetings. But they don't have permission to experiment on themselves to see what's possible. So they have the movement going, but they haven't opened. They get to the door, but they haven't opened the inner door. And one day they will. It's at their own rhythm. Mm. But one day when the deeper urgency opens, they're going to open that door and go. You see.
Mm. You mentioned allowance on the part of the healer just now. How do you know that you are allowed to change someone's fate?
Well, you're not. The healer is not changing fate. The healer is a part of the doorway of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Someone comes to you.
Mm-hmm.
There's 100,000 healers to go to. They show up at your door.
Uh-huh.
So some intelligence is bringing them to your door.
Mm.
So already there's an alignment with spirit.
Mm.
That you have permission to do everything possible.
Mm.
In those minutes together, you have permission to do what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, often that healing is going to go through. Often it's going to be, a part will go through, a lot will be sent back, because you don't have permission to change the deeper movement of their spiritual nature, the soul, spirit soul level.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have permission. For instance, you'll meet people who are going through serious illness with cancer. And they come to you and they're smiling. Mm-hmm. I have cancer, the biggest smile in the world. They don't know they're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And they want a healing. Well, at that point, you cannot give a healing. You can give the healing. As a healer, I will give the healing. I will give the healing 100 times. But my job is to move them out of that subconscious smile,
mm-hmm.
because that means I'm looking at death through their eyes. Death is looking back at me. They're smiling at me about having cancer, which means they're smiling about the consequences of the illness, which is death.
Mm.
So I see it as death looking at me. So I do my best to get them out of it. I can get probably 40% of them out of that. And the other ones have already agreed to the outcome. And that's a deeper movement of their spirit soul. It's their time. So a healer is working to the very end. So I'll be sitting with them when they cross over. But I also am going to be working to that moment to see what's possible for regenerating the field and bringing them here. Because, you know, until the end, you keep going. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another thing I really learned from the workshop. Really, what is the big picture? And then sometimes it is time. Just like the tree. We were talking about the tree, you know.
Yeah. I had a woman come in to Milan. And I told this story, actually. she came into the group, there was about 60 people there, and she sat down, and she said, I have a lipoma. I've had it for, she had lymphatic cancer. And she had it for 7 years and was not responding to any treatments. And she was smiling like a child looking at the candy in the store, you see. And I said, we can't help you because you're smiling. And the husband had driven her from Reggio Emilia 2 hours to Milan. He wasn't very happy with me. And I had 60 people in the room who looked, they weren't very happy with me. Ron's not helping this woman. And when you're smiling, you have no idea that you're smiling. Mm. Mm. So I'm sitting here looking at death look at me through her eyes. And then suddenly, 20 minutes into this, she stopped smiling. She actually stopped smiling. It was extraordinary. So I said, you stop smiling. Now the healing will go through you. But I can't work with you right now because these 60 people are angry with me. They don't believe I'm helping you. I said, how many of you are angry? 60 people raised their hand. Because they're looking at the superficial movement. Mm. We're just going to do the healing for this person, you see. Her husband, I said, you're welcome to come back. The next day was Sunday. She came back. She had a 10-minute healing. Wednesday, she went for her scan, her 3-month scan. There was nothing to be found. Mm. They did another scan into the lungs, nothing to be found. That was 9 years ago. And then she came and started doing training. She's a healer now. But every few months, I get the reports. She's still doing her exams. I get the reports. Everything's negative. Mm. If I'd given her that healing that day, it would have been like water off a duck's back. It would not have gone into her system, you see. Mm. And the work, the people who really want to do it, they're going to be scared. Mm. They're going to be afraid of dying. They're going to be angry. You know, there's that anger state. But if you give them the work to do, they're going to do it. So I had a woman who came in. She had 40 tumors. And this was 14 years ago in Montreal. She was a healer. She'd worked with me. And I sent her down to New York to get a protocol for therapy. Mm. And then I was in Europe. I flew into Montreal and I went with her to see the oncologist. Mm. And the oncologist sat there, and 1 meter from her was actually yelling at her, "You've come too late for me to help you!" Like this, twice. And I'm sitting there like, the woman, she was already gone. When he finished with that, she was in a hole in the ground. I said to you, she's right here. Do you have to yell at her? He says, "Who are you? Are you family?" "No, I'm a friend." "Then get out of here." Kick me out. And then the next person at the door was one of the other clients who had ovarian cancer before, who I'd worked with. She was going in after this. "What are you doing here?" So what was funny was there's a work of self-healing. It's 3 hours a day. When I'm working with people, all the medicine is good. All medicine is coming from the same source, whether it's east or west, north or south, including all the new technologies. It all has its place. It's coming to serve humanity. A hospital is not there to guarantee your life. A hospital, if you look at the force field of a hospital and the intelligence of a hospital, everyone in the hospital is kneeling before you. The hospital is kneeling to you when you walk in the door. It says, "We are here to serve you. We will do the best we can for you. Mm. We will do our best for you. We cannot guarantee you the outcome, but we are here to serve you." And that's what people don't understand. They think that going to the hospital is to be saved. That's between them and the source, their source of creation. Mm. In different traditions, it has different names. So this woman, it took me about 3-4 days to pull her out of the hole in the ground the doctor stuck her in. He told her daughter, "Your mother has 2 months to live." The daughter passed out unconscious on the floor. And he said to her, "I'm going to give you 2 chemos, maybe 3, so you have time to get your papers in order before you die." So I give people, it's a 3-hour meditation for self-healing in the morning. It's not mindfulness. It's a meditation that actually works to regenerate the system. And so she started doing this, She didn't do 3 hours a day. She did 5 hours a day. And that started at the end of in October. In December, there had been 20 tumors in the lungs. In December, the 20 tumors were gone.
Mm.
Now, the source of this apparent cancer was in the uterus.
Mm.
And the doctor, of course, said, obviously there were not 20 tumors in your lungs because it must have been a virus. It could not have just disappeared like that. That same weekend, I was in Maryland. I got a call from a woman who had healed from breast cancer, but she had gone to a doc because she was having trouble breathing, and they found 20 tumors in her lungs.
Mm.
So she called me. He sent her to hospice immediately to die. Mm. So she calls me, very panicked. I go down to see her, to work with her. And did 2 days of work, left. She went back to her doctor on Monday, insisted on another scan. There was nothing in her lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, obviously, that was a virus. It wasn't. Those were not tumors. The same one the other guy said. Anyway, and this woman's working 5 hours, you see. When you're going through a serious illness, it's not life as before. In most of the big cities, you'll see these cancer clubs. Everyone's cheering them on like themselves on, like,
yeah,
the football players,
mm,
or it's a basketball team. We're going to get it. We're going to do it. We're going to go through it. We're going to be heroes.
Mm.
Well, most of those people aren't here anymore because they did not reorganize themselves to heal. What does that mean? It means that your life is based on the energy you have and the energy you can gather and the consciousness that you can maintain within compassion for yourself to regenerate with the creative source.
Mm.
And then not throw it out the door. You have to keep it. So you don't go to work 8 to 10 to 12 hours being a hero. I have in New York, I had stock guys running Wall Street firms, people running the biggest research firms in America for bio research, billion-dollar firms. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time. So whenever I come into town, they come running. But they don't have time to spend 5 minutes with themselves. They're too important. Well, they're not here anymore. They're not here. They didn't have to disappear themselves. But I have to respect all movements. You have to respect all movements. So when you're doing healing work for yourself, you're reorganizing your life to heal, which means your work time goes down to maybe 4 hours max. Everyone else is doing the errands, cleaning the house, and doing everything else you would normally do because you need to maintain and grow deeply the field of your life within you to support you going through this process of healing.
Mm.
And she did this. And by the way, I called it that morning meditation. You're lying in bed for 3 hours. I call that going to the office. You see, that's going to the office. That's the work you do. Everything else is secondary.
Mm.
She was doing 5 hours of going to the office, you see. When they finally went to take out the uterus and the ovaries, they found out in the pathology lab there was no trace in any tissue. They kept doing slicing, slicing, slicing. There was no trace. There was no scar tissue. There was no trace in her uterus. There had ever been any cancer present at all. Yeah. The doctor closed his office for one full day, didn't talk to anybody. He called her and said, in 40 years, I've never seen anything like this. He marked her as dead. He told her he was dead. You understand?
Mm.
It turned out 2 years later, he told her, I didn't close my office for 1 day. I closed it for 2 days.
Mm.
And he went off to India to do volunteer work after that.
Mm.
Yeah. And he checks on her every year, even though he retired now.
Mm.
But he's, you know, he wanted to send her all over Canada as his poster child. I said, they're going to eat you up and spit you out. You stay home, you regenerate, and you become healthy and remain healthy. That's I think 13 or 14 years now. She's fine. So I can tell you probably 100 stories like this.
Mm.
But the deal is the urgency.
Mm.
Whether it's our own cells and our personal development, mm-hmm, or our own cells with our chronic illness, mm, or our own cells with acute illness.
Mm.
And using the attitude to put everything together,
mm,
to correctly, to support yourself,
mm,
and then supporting everyone around you. So in the case of cancer, you gather the energy, you start to feel stronger. What most people do, they run out and go shopping. They run out and go have coffee and tea with their friends, and they're exhausted after 2 days, back to ground zero. You can't do that. You have to hold the energy. Then the second thing is when you're getting chemo and you're getting radiation, the three-hour work that they're given, it regenerates the etheric field, so there's no damage. We have, when you have radiation and chemo, it's lowering, it's traumatizing the system, one, but it's also lowering frequency and contracting the field. So it's making much difficulty at cellular level to recover. And the person's aging rapidly from it because of the damage. In this work, for chemo, for instance, you can actually burn the chemo out of a body. You don't want to burn the chemo. The chemo is medicine. And to the body you say, look, this is not coming to traumatize or poison us. This is coming to heal us. We're going to work with it. So you work it in deep into the cells. You can do that consciously. And then you can regenerate out the traumatic part. You regenerate the cellular level. And the same with the radio, the radiation work. You do the same. Mm-hmm. So the people actually do the work. They come out looking like, I'm not exaggerating, 10 years younger. So it's very, very unusual to see. It's very unusual. Very beautiful. Oh, I can't do 3 hours a day. Yeah, but you can watch 10 hours of TV a day. Right? So it's getting the willpower. The willpower will come with the urgency. But then you have to push yourself every day to be urgent. You need people often to help you do that. Mm-hmm. And, but whether it's serious illness or it's ourself looking for a spiritual understanding of our nature, it's the same urgency.
It's the urgency. Mm. Well, Ron, thanks for coming to enlighten us. We'll wait till our coming episode to hear more from you.
Okay.
Well, thanks so much for the time being.
Thank you.
Thank you.